This article is titled The Economy of US Studio Business Model is Financial and Art. Quantity, Quality, Marketing and Star Power Add to the Studio's Strength by Dom Serafini from the October issue of Video Age. Naysayers who underestimate the business of traditional television had better research the rich potential of the medium. The only drawback could be that those riches are concentrated among some 100 companies worldwide, and, in turn, these companies get most of their content from just 7 U.S. studios: CBS, Disney ABC, NBC Universal, Paramount, Sony Pictures, 20th Century Fox, and Warner Brothers. Before reporting on the comments of U.S. studio executives regarding current and future opportunities, let's analyze the global audiovisual market and what it represents for the U.S. TV industry. According to a study by France-based iDate, the 2013 world TV market will generate a total business of $323 billion, with 44% coming from advertising, 47% subscription fees, and 9% public funding. Considering that programming costs account for about 50% of total TV outlet income, we can safely assume that content represents at least a $160 billion portion of that amount. As a point of reference, in the U.S., cable networks alone collectively spend over $20 billion a year on programs. Granted, the U.S. represents nearly 36% of the total global TV market, but Europe is not far behind with 30%, followed by Asia-Pacific, 21%, LATAM, nearly 9%, and MEA, nearly 3%. In terms of TV video rights exports, the U.S. generates an estimated $20 billion a year, which, added to the U.S. domestic TV business, would bring the total TV content sales business to nearly $70 billion a year. If we further consider that up to 70% of that business is controlled mostly by U.S. studios, some $50 billion is shared among 7 companies, for an average of $7 billion each per year. Recently, Chase Carey, president of 21st Century Fox, reported that in 2016, the company expects to generate $9 billion, which would include its theatrical business. That's a serious and rich TV business indeed, and given the numbers and the growth potential, the future could not be brighter. Only 5 countries absorb more than 58% of U.S. audiovisual exports: the U.K., Canada, Germany, Japan, and France. Reportedly, the value of imported drama series for 119 European broadcasters alone across 21 countries reaches $7 billion a year, or 15% of total programming investments, of which the U.S. takes at least 80%. There are also emerging countries with large domestic TV markets, such as Brazil, $14.1 billion, China, $11.3 billion, and India, $6.9 billion, that are already big consumers of American movies, with India the 4th largest and China the 7th largest, with great growth potential for TV content. The U.S. studio's economic power, though, has to match their financial power, considering that each episode of a drama picked up by an American broadcast TV network carries a deficit of at least $2 million, which, for a 13-episode order, adds up to $26 million. Multiply that by the 29 new dramas introduced this fall alone, the additional episodes to complete the season, and the newly discovered summer original programming, and it's clear that only a studio system can finance production deficits to the tune of $1.5 billion a year collectively. Indeed, the U.S. television studio's business model is so unique that no other country has been able to duplicate or replicate it. Basically, this is because it doesn't make any business sense. Would any other TV industry in the world be willing or able to spend more than $500 million a year on development to come up with shows that have up to an 80% failure rate? In the view of a former top-level studio executive, the failure rate can indeed reach 80%, but the norm is just 20%, with large studios averaging close to 50 to 60%. And this is after having invested $240 million to produce pilots. Last May, out of 98 pilots commissioned to the major 6 U.S. studios, about 50 were actually picked up, and accumulating the aforementioned estimated $1.5 billion in deficit per year. Fortunately for the studios, to generate cash, they can also collateralize their library for financial loans and monetize them with transactional revenue. Reportedly, a TV library loses an estimated 11.4% of its value from year 2 to 11, and 7.5% from year 12 to 21, after which depreciation virtually ceases. Let's do the numbers. A studio produces, for its own broadcast TV network or others, a primetime drama carrying a $2 million deficit per episode and takes a tax write-off on it. From that same show, the network grosses an average of $7 million and nets $5 million. The studio then recoups the deficit internationally, including the 7 to 10% cost of doing business, and generates $1 million per episode in reruns, off-net, in domestic syndication. In effect, an hour-long drama costs the studio $3 million while generating revenues for the studio broadcast group of $9.5 million, $7 million from the network, $1.5 million internationally, and $1 million in syndication, bringing profits of $6 million after deducting distribution, development, and interest costs, less than that if producers' participation is involved. With that rate of return, even at an 80% failure rate, the studio level alone will bring in a hefty 10% average ROI on an output per studio of 15 TV drama series per year. The sitcoms that succeed don't do well at the international level, but they're mannered domestically. In effect, for the studios, content is a portfolio business. And all this is within a four-year period, with a library value that continues to be monetized over the years and without considering digital, international channels, merchandising and other ancillary and transactional revenues. Indeed, there is a science to this business model called Ultimate, a technique unique to the US studios whereby executives can figure out how much revenue will be generated by each movie title or TV series. Ultimates are updated monthly by the studio's financial people, with fresh data from the sales force providing for more incisive forecasts. The ultimates, together with other money-making rituals, like the network's upfronts, pre-sales of primetime broadcast TV commercial airtime, and the LA screenings, Hollywood's showcase for new primetime TV series, make for the studio's well-oiled money-grinding machines. However, the U.S. studio money-making engine is its ubiquitous and omnipresent content distribution apparatus, which encompasses international, domestic distribution. The latter is often referred to as syndication, and international cable and satellite TV channels that lately tend to fall under one executive, as is the case with Steve Mosco at Sony Pictures Television, Armando Nunez at CBS Television Studios, Ben Pine at Disney ABC, Jeff Schlesinger at Warner Brothers Television, and Dennis McGuire at Paramount Pictures. Only Fox and NBC Universal remain under the traditionally separate domestic and international structures. Disney was the first to integrate program distribution. In 2007, the studio placed its many content distribution units under one group in order to speak with one voice, one vision, and have one agenda, explained Bill Pine, president of global distribution at Disney Media Networks. At Sony Pictures, TV program distribution and channel divisions have been integrated under Steve Mosco since 2008. CBS integrated content sales in 2012, followed by Warner Brothers in 2013. International distribution and domestic first-run syndication businesses provide the studios with their short-term strategy to enhance cash flow, while long-term results are generated by off-net syndication. For these reasons, studio executives are reluctant to compare revenues because each division has different financial peaks. For example, international revenues on a network show start to come in immediately, while the domestic division has to wait 4 years for the off-net income to come in. The business model for First Run is still cash plus barter, with some elements of revenue sharing, in the sense that if the show performs well above what was expected, there will be some extra income for the distributor. First-run genres are game shows, court shows, talk and tabloid news magazine shows like TMZ and ET. It has been said that at Fox, Mark Kaner's international TV division makes close to $2.3 billion in sales per year. Sony Television is responsible for more than 50% of Sony Pictures Entertainment's profit of $450 million. Sony's 124 channels in 159 countries generate a reported $1.5 billion a year on their own. Commented Disney's Ben Pine, Disney Channels Worldwide is a global portfolio of over 100 kid-driven, family-incisive entertainment channels and or channel feeds available in 166 countries, territories, in 34 languages that generate significant revenues and create brand awareness. One might think that the biggest challenge for the U.S. studios would be the domestic TV business, However, recent developments prove the opposite on all levels: broadcast, syndication, and digital. And if the studio also owns a network, add retrans fees to those pluses. For the studios, the network and syndication businesses represent the engine that powers their content factories. They are also conduits for producing the high-quality content that makes lots of money internationally and allows the U.S. networks and their local affiliates to collect retrans fees from U.S. cable, satellite, and telco operators, and to get an additional percentage from the affiliates' own retrans fees. The same content also generates cash from digital U.S. outlets like Amazon and Netflix. Explained Disney's Pine, "We have shows like Grey's Anatomy that are available on iTunes, as well as our Hot from the US service 24 hours after the US broadcast." Some other studios do the same depending on how the show is sold to advertisers. For example, with Live Plus 4, AC Nielsen adds the audience on the broadcast plus video on demand for 4 days, after which the shows go on transactional digital platforms. Contrary to popular belief, U.S. broadcast television not only isn't dying, but it's thriving. At the end of the 2012-2013 primetime TV season, CBS averaged 11.9 million viewers a day, ABC 7.8 million, Fox 7.1 million, and NBC 7 million. Moving on to the so-called uncertain advertising market, at the conclusion of the upfront sales that began in mid-May, the aforementioned four U.S. broadcast networks, plus CW, received commitments from advertisers to pre-buy anywhere from around $8.7 billion to $9.15 billion worth of commercial time during the 2013-2014 primetime season. The upfronts showed that U.S. broadcast television is still a good way for advertisers to get reach and frequency, and that large brands can't do without broadcast television. As Fox Broadcasting's chairman of entertainment, Kevin Riley, explained, the recent Nielsen cross-platform report stated that television consumption is up by nearly 2 hours on average, to 157 hours and 32 minutes per individual per month. On the cable, satellite, and telco distribution front, according to some estimates, by 2015, retrans fees to broadcasters will increase to $4.3 billion from $2.4 billion in 2012. Perhaps the business model will change towards streaming if cable and satellite operators drop the networks in favor of original programming a la carte. After all, it is expected that viewing via digital sources will increase and potentially surpass traditional distribution. At CBS Corporation's Les Moonves points out, "Network television is not dying, it's just changing. We don't care where you watch the shows." However, even in the realm of streaming, the balls are now moving toward the network's court. Recently, the U.S. broadcast TV networks have won the first legal round in court against companies that stream local stations on the Internet without their permission or compensation. As for the fact that Sony Pictures does not own a U.S. broadcast network, in the view of John Weiser, president of U.S. TV distribution, "It provides a competitive advantage since we sell product to all buyers and maximize revenues for our producers." Similarly, Steve Moscow, president of Sony Pictures Television, updated an earlier report. "We do programming for 16 networks. Being Switzerland in some ways is a good thing because we can be in business with everybody. What's attractive to producers, writers, and actors is that they can come to us and know we're going to go out and sell it to the best possible network." However, recently, Sony Pictures Television, SPT Networks, launched GetTV, a new U.S. digital broadcast television network airing movies from Hollywood's golden era. Programming primarily comes from the Sony Pictures library, featuring more than 3,500 films. It's the third wholly owned Sony-branded channel in the U.S., after Sony Movie Channel and Cine Sony Television. All three channels are managed by Superna Cal, SVP, U.S. Networks, SPT. GetTV is carried on the digital subchannels of Univision Television group-owned television stations in 24 markets that account for 44% of all U.S. television households, representing more than 50 million homes. Even in the highly competitive U.S. syndication business, the studios face a bright future. Indeed, for some studios, the biggest challenge is the need for more product, especially theatrical movies and TV shows. According to SPT's John Weiser, in terms of avails, He sees a myriad of openings, since 5 out of 6 shows currently on air could have better ratings. As for time periods, Weiser sees opportunities in the 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. time frame. Also, Little Product is working in access time and late night. And as for Disney, we have a robust first-run syndication in all day parts, said Pine. Armando Nunez, president and CEO of CBS Global Distribution Group, commented, "We are launching the Arsenio Hall show, so we clearly see an opportunity in late night for original programming. Stations have told us they are looking for alternatives to off-network sitcoms, so that is something we're taking a look at. Daytime also continues to provide opportunities for talk, court, and game shows, so we focus development on that day part as well. At the international level, the power of U.S. TV drama is increasingly becoming dominant worldwide," explained Keith Lagoy, president of international distribution at Sony Pictures Television. Lagoy sees growth in all aspects of the business. Broadcast, pay TV, subscription, and digital, for several reasons, including the improved advertising market, more competition in the pay TV and digital areas, and the fact that U.S. TV series are now primetime material in major international markets. Even though around the world there are TV groups equally as powerful as the U.S. studios, none are currently in a position to match the financial and economic strength of the U.S. studios' production. But in the near future, predicted Lagoy, major TV players like TF1 and Canal Plus will be able to commission English-language original series from U.S. studios, using the same model as the U.S. TV networks. Conversely, Disney's Pine doesn't envision that in the near future large TV organizations outside the U.S. will commission pilots to pick series. After all, they have all new U.S. product available. However, if that opportunity arises, we're ready, he said. In terms of windowless international release, Lagoy said that the biggest buyers want their U.S. content to debut as close as possible to the U.S. release date. Therefore, he foresees a closer alignment of dates worldwide. For CBS's Nunez, as a result of global demand for quality content, as evidenced by borderless social media outlets and piracy, we are offering our licensees the opportunity to program our current series on a just-after-US basis more and more. The real issue with just-after-US or day-and-date broadcast is balancing the challenges of local market piracy against effective promotion, proper local versioning, and delivery. Pine said he doesn't foresee a collapsing of windows, even though they're getting closer. We have series that are simulcast overseas with the U.S. release. For example, Lost was broadcast day and date with the U.S. in 64 countries. With S.H.I.E.L.D., many international premiere dates occurred close to the U.S. release last month. In some cases, our shows are broadcast overseas before they air in the U.S. This strategy has benefited the U.S. studios in other ways as well, since it has been noted that file-sharing piracy is declining where legal alternatives are offered. Consumers tend to seek illegal sources if content is not available legally in all parts of the world as soon as it's available in the U.S. That article was titled "The Economy of U.S. Studio Business Model is Financial and Art. Quantity, Quality, Marketing, and Star Power Add to the Studio's Strength," by Dom Serafini, and is from the October issue of Video Age.